Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Well, thank you, and good day. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. In Western society, heart disease is common, and we as doctors are faced with a patient often who presents with a history that increases the likelihood for them of a future myocardial infarction. It would be great if there was a serum marker that could predict with a high degree of accuracy the future risk that that person would have an MI. Clinical evidence accumulated since around 1990 has established inflammatory processes as important contributors to atherogenesis. Now, based on this evidence, protein markers of inflammation have been studied as non-invasive indicators suggesting underlying atherosclerosis. The most well-studied has been CRP. Other markers include B-type natriuretic peptide, N-terminal pro-atrial natriuretic peptide, aldosterone, renin, fibrinogen, D-dimer, etc., etc. Mark, here comes the question here. Do any of these new biomarkers improve our ability to predict whether a patient will have an initial cardiovascular event?
Well, a recent study did address that question. Came from the Framingham Research Group. They've been studying cardiovascular risk for longer than anybody. They took over 3,000 men and women with an average age of 59 years, and they measured fasting levels of 10 of these novel biomarkers, things like CRP and BNP, D-dimer, homocysteine. They then followed the patients for about 7 years and kept track of who died and who had a major cardiovascular event, something like an MI, prolonged angina, heart failure, or a stroke. They then created a couple of statistical models to try and identify which of these new biomarkers best predicted death and best predicted cardiovascular events. Turns out the best model to predict death includes CRP, BNP, homocysteine, plasma renin, and the urinary albumin to creatinine ratio. The best model to predict cardiovascular events, on the other hand, included only the BNP and the urinary albumin to creatinine ratio. All of the other biomarkers dropped out. Now, bear with me. This analysis does get a little bit complicated. They used these models to create what they called multi-marker risk scores generated by these models, and it put patients into three groups, low, moderate, and high risk. And they found that the scores based only on these novel biomarkers did actually predict risk, and the relative risk of death was 4 times higher in the high-risk group than in the low-risk group. So far, so good. These novel biomarkers by themselves do predict cardiovascular risk, but we don't look at them in isolation. We also know the patient's age and sex and whether they smoke and what their cholesterol is and their blood sugar. So the next step was that the researchers compared prediction using only the traditional risk factors with prediction using conventional risk factors plus these multi-marker scores. And they found that the overall predictive accuracy was not improved significantly by adding these novel biomarker risk scores to the overall basic prediction models. The bottom line is that while these novel biomarkers predict cardiovascular risk, they actually don't add much to our ability to predict risk above and beyond what we can already do with things like age and sex, cholesterol, diabetes, and tobacco use. Since these aren't free, and since we also don't know whether modifying these risk factors improves patient outcomes, I don't think they really should be part of our routine practice at this point.
Okay, we've got these biomarkers. We know that they're attractive. From a patient and doctor perspective, we like to order tests. What do you think is driving this? I mean, why are doctors ordering these tests? And now that we know that this doesn't add any new information, can we expect that doctors are going to stop or slow down ordering these tests?
Oh, I wish that were true. I think sometimes, you know, as physicians, we like to be up to date, and sometimes we confuse feeling up to date or ordering the latest tests with actually being up to date with the latest evidence and knowing what actually serves our patients best. I mean, this is a case where, it does provide some information, but it really isn't going to help us make better decisions for our patients. If they have an elevated CRP, what do we do with that? There has been a study, I think a single study, that looked at patients with a low or normal LDL, but they had an elevated CRP, and that subgroup did seem to benefit from statins more than those who had a low LDL and a normal CRP. So there may be a role for these. It's still evolving, but in terms of risk prediction, it doesn't add much right now.
Although perhaps we would have put those patients on statins anyways so that the CRP doesn't really add anything or drive us to do any additional intervention.
That's right.
Well, thanks. That's this week's poem. Mark, thanks this week for being with us, and we'll look forward to hearing next week what you've got for us.
My pleasure.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.